Hi guys, today I have with me Thea Brown, a registered nurse, a full-time mommy, a full-time life learner, and someone that believes in healing, someone that has actually gone through the healing process that can be able to guide you as you embark on that journey to heal. So Thea is going to tell us a little bit about how she came about making the change. You will get to hear her poem first. So be patient, close your eyes, and listen to the poem. The second thing is you get to hear the interview. The interview is going to talk about, she's going to tell us why she had to make the change and how she went about changing her life and just heal from within. And that journey has radiated not only to her mother, but also to her daughter. She has been able to break the generational curse, the generational cycle of bad mommies. So please listen carefully, listen with an open heart, and enjoy. Thank you.
I am my mother. I worry about things I shouldn't. I take on responsibilities I don't have to. I work hard. I'm called a bitch. I isolate myself, never taught how to love. I'm controlling. I tell others what to do and how to do it. I lack confidence, so I hide my true self. I'm dramatic. I attract attention. I am blunt, so I hurt others' feelings. I'm fearful, so I can't live for today. I trust no one, so I'd rather be alone. I sacrifice my happiness to make others smile. I wear a mask to make it seem like life is great. My mother was lost, playing too many roles. A wife, a mother, a provider was too much for her. Her words cut so deep and wounds left open. For whatever reason, I can't forgive my mother. I tried, but I can't. I won't. But I should for a peace of mind. No matter how far I run away, doesn't matter how much money I have or how successful I become, I will always battle being my mother's child. I am sad, hurt, lost, and confused. Some would say move on, grow up, the past is the past, but the pain still lingers. A motherless child grieving a loss, but she's my mother, and that's our story. I'm stronger even though I feel weak. I'm wiser now that I know. Through my mother's mistakes, I will break this cycle, all for the love of my very own child.
Oh, you know what I didn't do? Because we started the conversation, I didn't have you introduce yourself.
Oh, that's all good.
But go ahead.
Yes, my name is Thayana Trisbian, and I'm very excited to have been able to talk to you all today. But I am a nurse. I've been a nurse for, 9 years now, and I just love everything that I'm doing. I do have a daughter. She'll be 3 this June. Very exciting. We live in New Jersey, back in my hometown, which is a whole nother layer of healing in itself, which is great. I'm trying to think. There's so many things. I'm writing a book now. I'm doing Reiki. I just keep myself busy. I actually do have my own women's group. We meet. I have a Facebook group as well. And it's funny because the name is Empowering Divine Divas, I believe. Yes, Empowering Divine Divas. So it's always about empowering women. So,
you know, my podcast is mainly to kind of empower women that have non-existent or toxic relationship with their mothers. Right. And I know you're blessed with an amazing mom because you know, from what I see.
Yeah, from what you see. Looks are deceiving. it's funny that you said that, though, because I'm getting a poem about my mom published. So it was funny. I submitted it, and that's the one they chose. It was the one I wrote about my mom. So.
Okay, what is it about?
It was a toxic relationship with me and my mom growing up, but it was very good. The poem's awesome. I'm going to definitely share it with you.
Please, because my audience needs that.
Yes, it's amazing.
Can you just kind of walk us through your journey in healing when it comes to the emotional abandonment that you experienced from your mom?
Right.
So I will just start on kind of how, like, we were talking. Back in 2010, my mom, she was like, I'm leaving the house. She's like, take all your stuff, go. And I was just shocked. You know, I was only, what, not even 20 years old. And so I packed everything that I could, took it all back to my college dorm, which, you know, college dorm isn't really that big. And yeah, she decided she was leaving, and that was it. She left everything in that house. It was emotionally upsetting. Like, I had so many feelings, and I just looked for ways to escape, you know, from life, you know, to numb myself, really. You know, in college, I was so busy with nursing school. And then I would just, other than that, I would just, you know, just escape. I was looking for ways to just escape from the pain that I had with my family. And so then in 2010, that's really when I started like opening my Bible and just really connecting with God. Cause for so long, my family was so toxic. You know, they didn't really go to church. They believe in God. They didn't really, you know, enrich that in our lives. And so I just started praying. I started, you know, writing. And my spiritual gift is also, I'm a writer. So, and I didn't know that about myself. So I would write poems, and just, that was my, you know, healthy coping with everything that was going on. And so, then that kind of brought me into meeting people, and the people I was meeting were actually helping me heal, and I didn't realize it. So I got my first Reiki treatment, you know, and I didn't know what Reiki was. I had no idea. And that's kind of like opened up a whole another spiritual, you know, layer of healing. So, but just, it's taken years. It's taken a process, you know, cause you can't just forgive someone, you know, in a couple months, a couple days, you know, it really is after 20 something years of going through a toxic relationship with your family, it takes so much to, you know, be able to let all that go and to really heal. So it's been amazing.
I mean, thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for your vulnerability, because a lot of people are going through it and they're waiting for someone else to give them the baton to start the healing process. So for you, you just got tired. What did that look like for you, being tired?
So I was, like I said, I was very young, and I just, I was at the point where I was just tired of doing the same things over and over, having the same arguments. And, you know, you would go home and you would always, you know, it's your mom, you want to forgive them on, you know, your heart wants to forgive them, and you want to be a family. You want a mother. You're always going to desire to have a mother and a relationship with your mom. And so I just got tired of being disappointed, because every time I'd be around her, it was toxic. So I realized I need to set boundaries, because I always let myself be vulnerable to her. And I was, you know, wow, I'm like expecting something different only to have the same, you know, outcome. So then I started to realize that I need to take, you know, control in the sense of, you know, I need to, she's my mom. However, I'm an adult now, and I need to set boundaries and instill healthy behaviors within our own family dynamics. And it's taken years. It's definitely a process, but, you know, looking to God, doing Reiki healing and spiritual work, praying for my mom, you know, and being able to really, you know, now that I have a daughter, that's also helped in ways too. Because it's helped in our connection to know that, you know, being a mother is not easy, but I'm a different mom because of my mom. So because of her mistakes, I'm able to now grow and be a better mom to my daughter. So that's been an interesting spin on things.
Because you don't want to be like her. I know for me, I don't want to be like my mom. So that is always in the back of my head. Mm-hmm. I don't want my son to go through what I went through. Right. So because of that emotional neglect, for me, it was emotional abuse. I was like, I'm so self-conscious. Like, I can't instill that. I can't do that to my son, because that created for me people pleasing.
Absolutely.
You know, the uncertainties that I had as a kid growing up, when I became an adult, I tell people I earned degrees in people pleasing, because I wanted everyone to like me. Today I was thinking, I was like, wow, I have so much time to do what I want to do for myself, because I'm no longer seeking validation from others or seeking their love and their attention. Because now I'm like, well, wait a minute. If I don't want to do this, I'm not going to do this.
Right. Exactly.
It's just what it is. So, you know, for you, when you were going through, you realized that, hey, wait a minute, the relationship that I have with my mom, it's different compared to other people. When was that? Like, when did you have that aha moment to say, I know you said, okay, so in 2010, you're like, you got tired, but earlier on, when did you realize, like, hey, this relationship is different. This is weird. This is not normal.
I believe when I was very young, I mean, I was exposed to so many things. I was exposed to my parents' toxic relationship that my mom stayed and endured. And that was a big thing for me when I was younger, is that it was so toxic in the household. And when I would go over my friend's house, I'm like, wow, their mom's so different. And, you know, I would latch on to their mothers. And I'm like, you don't realize, you know, and as a young kid, you don't know, you know, but I would just latch on to them and talk to them. And they're like, wow, like, and I, like you said, I always wanted to please them. And I was like the best kid. Everyone's like, wow, you're so great. I wish you were my daughter. And I'm like, yes, because you have to fight for someone's love. And everything you said validated everything, because I grew up constantly feeling like I had to fight for other people's attention, their love, you know, and even with men, like I had such a journey with men, because I'm like, wow, I have to fight to show that, you know, this is, and I just never knew what love was. And then until I loved myself, and that's really what, you know, getting to your spiritual self, that core, all those core issues, that's really what I had to, and it doesn't feel good to heal, you know, at first you're like, oh, I'm scared. You know, like you said, it's scary to open up and be vulnerable, because all these years I've worn a mask, you know, and like you said, even, you know, someone, you know, a couple years ago, I had to check myself when I got my divorce. I was wearing a mask, you know. I felt like, oh, I want to be good enough to be someone's wife. I want to be this, I want to be that. And, you know, you get these degrees and you get all these things and you're like, but really, like, what is that? What am I doing this for? Am I doing this for a show to show the world that I'm good enough? Or am I doing this because, you know, like for me and for, you know, God, my purpose. So.
Oh, girl, I'm getting chills. I'm getting chills. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I am getting chills. Because I, my mommy issues, man, they were deep. Mm-hmm. They were deep. And of course, in relationships, I worked so hard to keep the relationship, to be perfect, to do things right, to make sure I don't make a mistake. And, it's exhausting.
It is. It's so tiring.
It's so exhausting. Just trying to make sure everybody was okay while I was breaking. Like, I was just so broken, just crumbling. And no one could really see or feel or know, because the thought of me saying it, I thought made me look weak.
Exactly.
But after reading the Bible, I realized in my weakness, He is strong and He carries me through.
Yes.
So I'm no longer afraid.
Right.
Of being vulnerable. Now, some people, then not everyone, I'm vulnerable.
Right.
But, you know, I don't mind opening up.
Right.
I don't mind, you know, I don't have that pressure of wanting to be perfect.
Right. It feels so good and so freeing, doesn't it?
Oh my gosh. That was so much pressure.
Yeah. I'm actually working on a book right now about my life and about my healing and about everything, because I always tell people you should share your story, because no one's story is the same, but we can all identify a piece or a part of a story that helps us heal. And so writing my book, it's actually helping me heal all those things that I didn't want to, you know, talk about for so long, or I didn't want to, you know, I say things and people are like, that happened to you? That happened? And she said that. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, you're here and you're so successful. And how did you, you know, but taking a negative and turning into a positive is like the best outcome. And so now I've developed an appreciation for my mother, because without her, I would have never been who I am today. And that's deep in the fact that, you know, like throughout all these years and all these things, you know, she told me, oh, you'll go to college and you'll fail. And I could have just been like, wow, yeah, you're right. But no, like, I was like, I'm going to prove her wrong. You know, I'm going to college and I'm going to be successful. But she very much did not want me to go to college at all. So, yeah. Yes. And then I realized that there's this thing that mothers can actually be jealous of their daughters.
Oh, honey, I did an episode on that.
Yes. It's so
jealous crazy. Mothers. I never believed that.
Right.
Until I did, I research and I do a lot of reading and stuff like that. And I was like, jealousy. Why would I be jealous of my daughter?
Right, exactly.
And I would be like cheering and supporting and standing back and letting you do your thing and be you. Because there's nothing more amazing than that support from the first people that are supposed to love you.
Right.
Why would I snatch that away from her?
Exactly.
So it never made sense to me. But when I read about it and then I talked to other people, they're like, oh, moms can be jealous.
Absolutely, yes.
Moms don't want you to go past how much they have acquired.
Absolutely, right, exactly.
So they will try to prevent you from doing and being and reaching for the limit, the sky or whatever. And they put a cap on you by telling you negative things from early on. And I know that's one of the things my mom did to me. Right. You know, she just look at me and just say mean things.
Right.
You know, so.
It's deep. It really is. The healing work that you have to do with a toxic mother. I think I actually read something that said you're actually more affected by a toxic mother than an absent father.
Yes!
Yeah. It's like, oh, well, that makes sense. So it's amazing. Oh
my gosh. Yeah. I keep trying to tell people everyone is dismissing this whole mommy issue thing, but it is like a lot of women. Sometimes I see women that open up to me, and I cannot believe people that went to Harvard, that went to Yale, people that have degrees, people that are like VPs, directors. And I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. You look like you got it all together.
Right.
Absolutely. But the moment they open up, you're like, you're just like me.
Right, exactly.
And I'm just like you. Mm-hmm. And but for some people, what they do is they become an overachiever.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's their escape.
Right. To hide that pain.
Yeah. To hide that until that escape becomes very detrimental. So right. Now here comes the mental breakdown.
Right. Yep. You're seeking. You're constantly seeking. And then it's like, well, it's interesting to look back. You know, you look back and then you look and you see the mistakes and wow, this has all happened. And just to be in this present moment, it's like, wow, you know, like I've made it. Like I feel, like you said, I've reached freedom in my own. I've allowed myself to be free now from it all. So
what was your mother's participation towards your healing?
So it's interesting because we share a lot in common. And my mom, she has a block, you know, and I could see when she allows that block, she actually has, since then, she's left my father a few times. Now it's for good, which is great. I'm happy for her. So she actually will participate with Reiki with me. We will do certain things. Like she's taught me a lot. So when she is, I want to say aligned with her true self, me and her get along so well, but I've only seen glimpses of that. And that's kind of what always drew me back. Like, wow, we have this connection. You are my mother. I do love you. And so she has, you know, encouraged me in ways. But when I see that she's back with my father in the past years, she would stray away. And then that's when the toxicity would be worse. But, you know, when she's aligned with her true self, she is that loving mother that I've always, you know, sought after. So, but for her, it's been, my healing's been fueled more so towards the pain that I've experienced with her. You know, all the pain that has helped me then transmute and change that energy into more positive, you know, instead of hanging on to that anger and to everything that was negative, it's allowed me to be more positive in our relationship. So I think I've just take the pain from my past and helped me, you know, to be able to change. So
was she receptive of it when you decided you were going to heal, when you decided like, hey, this is not normal, this is not healthy? Because I know my mom was against it all.
There was some resistance. I feel like it's kind of like been in waves for me. There's been times where I've gone without talking to my mom for 6 months, maybe 8 months at a time. Wow. No communication, no texting. I mean, block, delete off Facebook, you know, all the pettiness, because I felt like she was, you know, judging me, everything. You know, you post anything on Facebook and it's like, oh, that's what she's doing. And the one thing that hurt is that her family, which is still my family, would turn against me as well. So she was talking to them and saying this and that, and I just had to disconnect. And there were so many times of, you know, you just can't do anything right. You know, you'll never be able to please that mother of yours, right? Mm-hmm. So I just had to take time of just not talking to her. And now that I'm healing, you know, little by little, more and more each year, our relationship is repairing itself. You know, because of God, you know, because he's the only one that can repair that. You know, I'm working on my healing, but she ultimately now, we're able to get to a point where she's starting to heal herself. So because I'm healing, she's now starting to heal. You know, it's like you heal those generational, you know, curses and the, yeah. So that's been a blessing for me, is that I'm kind of helping to heal my mother and I'm also helping to heal my daughter all in the same breath, because I'm doing what's best for me, you know, in my self-care and my journey. So
And you have, there's a powerful word that you use, which a lot of people run away from, and that is boundaries.
Yes.
I am a firm believer in boundaries.
Absolutely.
Because boundaries create a healthy relationship. A lot of times people are so afraid of it. They think like, oh, if I set boundaries, I'm going to lose this person. No. If you actually end up having a relationship with that individual, the relationship is going to blossom.
Absolutely, yes.
If you start off in the beginning with setting boundaries, knowing what you're okay with, what you're not okay with, and just, you know, I believe in teaching others how to treat me.
Right.
That's my only responsibility in this relationship, is me letting you know what I'm okay with and what I'm not okay with.
Right.
Because if I'm silent, how are you going to know? And people don't understand that. They think it's just supposed to know.
Yeah, and I think the older you get to is that your parents still see you as a child, and they have to know that there's a difference. I'm an adult now, and this is what, you know, my boundaries are. And, you know, too, because even when you do set boundaries, they still feel like they can disrespect them. And I've had both my parents still to this day, and I had to check them. So my biggest motto too is check me and I'm going to check you, because I think it's really important as an adult, you know, you never want to disrespect your parents at all, but they need to also know that I'm an adult. I have my own child. And for instance, today, my dad, he came unannounced instead of calling. And I said, you need to call, you know, this is what's appropriate and what I expect. And he definitely was like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I appreciate, you know, because it's important, you know, you have to check people. And I think a lot of people are afraid to do that with their families. I hear a lot of hesitation where it's like, oh, but that's my mom. And, you know, and, but now you're an adult and, you know, you have your own children. And there was something else my dad had said, like, he gave my daughter candy today. And he was like, yeah, but don't tell your mom. And I said, no, we're not doing that. We are very open and honest, me and my daughter. I was like, you know, we don't do that here. Sorry. You know, sorry, not sorry. And it's a big pivotal moment to be able to check people, because it's my father. I love him. I respect him. But I'm not going to allow that toxic behavior to spill into her life. So.
Oh, you have done so much work.
Yes. Yes.
You have done so much work, because that comes from healing. It comes from the courage that you acquire from healing, that you are able to, it's like you are choosing you, your mental health, your sanity. Because once you accept something once, the chances of you not accepting it again,
right,
is very small. Because it's going to be, it's open season then. So right. That's why the initial time, the first time it happens, you have to address it at that time. Versus waiting till, you know, oh, I just wait. Maybe I'll just see how I handle it next time. No.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm amazed.
Oh, no. I'm just here to, like, I mean, I just, even with my ex, we're not together, but I want us to have a very positive and healthy co-parenting situation. And we have, you know, it was hard in the beginning, but even for my daughter, it's just everything I want to be, you know, nothing's ever going to be perfect, but I want it to be real and I want it to be healthy and I want it to come from a good place. And since then, you know, our co-parenting relationship with my daughter has been amazing. My mom, sometimes she'll try to throw in some words and I said, listen, we don't do that. You know, you can't talk bad about her father, especially not in front of her, and yes, definitely not in front of me, because, you know, she felt for the longest time, well, I don't like him. There's no reason not to like him. He's the father of my daughter. You know, regardless of whatever may happen or whatever, it's still, that's her father and you should respect him. And that's something that she's still kind of battling with, but I always have to remind her, like, that's her father, you know? So I wouldn't want anyone to say anything bad about my father. So it just puts you in an awkward situation, you know, toxic, you know, again, so.
You are creating a healthy environment for your daughter.
Right.
That's
right.
What you're doing right here. Yeah. Making sure she grows up, her understanding what boundaries is, her understanding what she, it's like, it's the example of what a healthy relationship looks like.
Right.
It's what she's getting to see right now. So kudos to that. It's not an easy thing to do. I know.
No.
It's very hard, because sometimes after you do, you're like, whoa, did I just do that? Because I know I get that. I'm like, ooh. I just did that. And then I have to, like, you know, take some time. But I thank God for just steering me, you know, towards the right direction.
Right.
You know? And now I'm a little bit more comfortable in terms of, like, hey, I don't like this. Don't do it.
Right.
I'm not okay with this. This is not how I do it. you know? So I appreciate that about you right now.
It definitely takes years to get to a point, because you have to kind of stay grounded with how you're approaching situations, because not everyone will receive it the way. And you don't want to, you know, the longest time I was like, oh gosh, how do people feel? Am I going to hurt their feelings? Or, you know, I was so caught up in, you know, holding myself back and just allowing people to be disrespectful. But the more and more you practice it, the better you become. So it's just, you know, just practicing more healthy behaviors for everything.
Well, we're going to get into the topic that we're going to discuss today. And I think this is a great transition. In terms of peace. For you, you are at a place where you have acquired healing, and that has allowed you to experience peace.
Right.
What does peace mean to you?
I feel like having an inner peace is being able to be whole within yourself, to accept yourself, to love yourself, to, you know, forgive yourself. And I think it all goes back to just having peace with everything around you. If you have that inner peace, you carry that everywhere you go. And it's something that, you know, it sounds like it should be easy, but inner peace is something you collect, you know, and you have to be able to forgive yourself, and you have to be able to love yourself and to know yourself, and acceptance, total acceptance. So
when you say collect, mm-hmm. it's something that you have to collect. What does that mean?
Right. That is pretty deep, right?
I know.
I would say, like, it's almost like pieces. Like, I feel like right now my life is coming together almost like a puzzle, and it's almost like collecting the pieces, you know, the hurt pieces, the healing, and just putting it all together and collecting that piece, you know, within yourself. So I think it's just taking everything that you've experienced, you know, good, bad, happy, sad, all those moments, and really just being able to put it all together, balance yourself, because it's not all, you know, not every day is going to be happy, not every day, you know, it's going to be a bad day, but being able to collect everything together and just knowing that you have balance, you have a peace within yourself, I think that's really big.
In order for you to be, from what I'm understanding, is in order for you to be at peace with yourself, you have to really know who you are in a way, and collect whether the good, the bad, the trauma, the sadness, whatever, bring them all together and be okay with that.
Right.
Because if you are not okay with an aspect of you, you will not experience peace.
Exactly.
The conversation we just had, it sounds to me like what triggered you to, you know, protect your peace was the experience that you had with your mom and your family as a whole. Mm-hmm. Is what started the whole peace thing. So after you experienced that, like, let's say you started the journey. At first, you probably didn't know anything about peace.
Right.
So it was just like, I don't want to deal with this sadness and this toxicity. This is not normal.
Right.
But when it comes to your peace, how did that come about?
I definitely, like you said, it was definitely a phase. I started to introduce myself to different things. Being away from my family, being in Dover, Delaware.
I know.
Yeah, spending time, because I'm from Jersey. I'm back in Jersey, my hometown, which is ironic. But being away from so many people and so many things that were toxic for so long, and just being able to recreate my life the way I wanted it, I started to realize, okay, now I'm starting to heal. And then I desired peace. And this has just been recently, within the last couple of years, that I really have been focused on my peace, because I realized how important it is to have that peace within you. Because like you had just mentioned, you know, you really have to know who you are, who's God's designed you to be, what your purpose is. And, you know, and knowing that you have a past, but more so even knowing that you have a future, and it's a brighter future. So I just knew that I really wanted peace. I desire to have peace within me. And through, you know, spiritual practices, I've went to so many spiritual women retreats. I've actually went to 7 of them from the years of 2014 to 2018. I went to 7, and they were just amazing. And I realized, whatever we need to heal from, or however we need to heal, God is going to place people in certain, you know, retreats and things. And he's going to place that in your life. And that's exactly what has happened for me, is that I was presented with people, situations, things, you know, even writing this book for me is a part of my healing. And so just going towards peace has always been a part of me. So it's just been a beautiful journey for me, honestly. Ups and downs, highs and lows, but just, there's nothing like finding that freedom within yourself.
So what are some activities that you do to protect your peace?
That's a good one. So for my healing, like part of my healing, I started doing Reiki. And I'm not sure if you've heard of that.
I know. From you and someone else. I haven't done it yet because then COVID came along. So.
I know, right? Because yeah, I'm going to try. Yeah, we were going to do a session. So that was something that stuck out to me in my healing process because it was something that I never heard of. You know, I never had heard of it. I've always heard of like laying hands from church and like different things. And even in the hospital, they have those kind of practices. And so I just was interested in it. And the woman who did my Reiki, I mean, I cried. It was amazing. First experience. And she had just helped me with so much in just one, you know, 1 hour session. And I was like, wow, this is very deep. And like I said, from that session, you know, I've gotten other ones. And then I said, you know, Reiki, there's different levels. And so I did Reiki 1, and that really helps you heal yourself, like learning how to heal yourself. And so I just kept doing the different levels, and it's a spiritual practice, and it's more like a lifestyle that you enter into where it's, you know, you're mindful. And that's what I learned, mindfulness. So eating mindfully, you know, going through your day, actually being mindful, present in the moment. So not worrying about yesterday, not thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow, because I'm very anxiety prone. Like, oh my goodness, I have to get this done and that done. But just learning that meditation, that spiritual practice of being mindful has really helped me. So through the Reiki, through these different things, meditating, praying, you know, when you first wake up in the morning, having gratitude, you know, journaling, all these different things that I've put together. But I really wanted to, through this healing journey, I really wanted to help people find their own healing, because it's not just about me. It's about everyone around us. You know, if I heal, that's great. But what about everyone around me? So through that, I was able to help heal myself further, but also other people. And so they say the best healers are those who have been the hurt the worst. So that's really where I found a lot of, you know, peace with just being able to help others as well.
From what I'm understanding here is that, you know, you did one of the activities would be you did. I considered you going to those women conferences as a part of your piece.
Absolutely.
You know, a part of an activity that you did. And also, you know, journaling, praying, Reiki,
everything.
You know, I'm just kind of wrapping it up for the audience so that they can kind of, you know, kind of open up.
Right.
Because people are so closed-minded. They are hurting. And to me, I always say, if you are hurting,
right,
you do the same thing every day.
Yes,
you're around the same people all the time, and you're getting the same results.
Right,
honey, yes. I don't need to say another word.
Yes.
You just really need to decide for yourself what is next for me.
Right, absolutely.
You know, because that's where it came from. Because I was like, "What's next for me?" Because this can't be it.
Right.
And then I saw everyone around me that were grown. I saw the older women. And I was like, they're bitter.
Oh, goodness.
I don't want to be like them.
Right.
Because they have that nice, nasty, evil way of like, especially the older women.
Yes.
They were like just mean. And a lot of them were married for like 30 years, but hated their marriage the whole time. And now you want to take it out on me. You know, it's like stuff like that. So I was like, I don't want this.
Right. And that's one thing that I learned at the spiritual retreats, because I had never done anything like that before. And I was really nervous to go to these retreats with other women. I'm like, what are they going to think of me? What is this? I don't even know. We didn't really have much understanding of what they were, but it was something that had opened me up to a whole nother part of healing. So in the retreat, we were surrounded by women who were also hurt and healing. And then you would do like a spiritual, like almost like a ceremony where it would be like, this is a part of your healing. The first ceremony they had us do was like Jesus washing the feet. We went around to each woman that we didn't even know. And it was like a circle of women. And we washed our feet and told the woman how we appreciated them. People, strangers, complete strangers.
Wow.
I am still friends with all of those women from that first retreat. It was such a, like God was present in every moment. He led me there to meet these women. I mean, they've played a pivotal part of my life. I'm just so appreciative. But each retreat, you would do something like look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself that you love yourself and to give yourself advice that you would give another woman. And that was big, you know. So there was so many to have women witness and be a part of your healing has just been great, you know, like a great journey. And I encourage everyone, you know, a lot of times we're, like you just said about women, a lot of times we're taught to, you know, not be nice to other women, or we've opened up to other women, they've hurt us, you know, because we've been hurt by our mothers, we've been hurt by, you know, other women, our aunts, and, you know, just our coworkers and other things. And so our society has built us to be distant. I have to keep you at a
distance. Against each other.
Yes, pin you against each other. Oh, her hair's not, you know, cute, or oh, she thinks she's better than everyone, or, you know, we're taught all these things that are so toxic. And as women, we need to really embrace and empower each other. And that's, again, another part of healing, that when you can actually be vulnerable with another woman, and like you said, we all have had some type of the similarity, you know, we've all had a piece of each other's past. And just knowing that you can open up and be vulnerable with each other. And when women gather, it's so powerful. It's the most powerful thing.
When we come together, if only we know our own power.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
If only we know our own power, because when women come together, they can create the most amazing thing.
Yes. Yes.
But the moment there's that bitterness, I don't like bitter women.
Yeah, the division, you know, and that's like society has created us to kind of divide and not, you know, we don't want to come together. But really, we all, on the inside, especially during this quarantine time, you know, it's really important to reach out to everyone, because everyone's struggling in different ways. So I found that it is really important, because people do seek that. We do want other women. It's just, it's the fear, you know?
Yeah, it's the fear of being judged, and now I'm just like, I'm just going to be me. I don't care.
People are tired, yeah.
You know, if you like it, great. If you don't, there's nothing I can do about it, and I'm okay with that, you know?
And it's just praying, you know, praying that God will, you know, lead you to the right women, because, you know, as I'm healing, I'm noticing a lot more women are healing. So it's very interesting that, you know, as I'm raising my vibration, as I'm aligning with my purpose, I'm being brought to people who are also in the same healing process as well. So that's been amazing.
You know what? It's the healing journey brings the right people around you. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, friends just fell off.
Yes.
I didn't fight with them. I didn't argue with them, with the exception of one.
Right.
But they just fell right on off. And mm-hmm. I don't feel bad about it. I don't miss them. It's right. Just what it is.
Right.
I'm just accepting of that. Like, another question I have for you is, how can someone in a toxic relationship protect their peace? So for a lot of women that are in abusive relationship, especially at a time like this, a lot of women or a lot of people are in the home 24/7 with their abusers.
Right.
Whether it's be their husbands, it be their family members, be their moms, their dads, we're talking about being soaked.
Right.
In like constantly in the toxicity. What things can they put in place to protect their peace?
Yeah, I think that's such a powerful, you know, just a powerful question, because when you're immersed into a toxic situation, you really need to know, how do I get out of here? You know, how do I remove myself? And I think I'm a big believer in, number one, you have to identify. And a lot of people don't identify, you know, that they're in a toxic situation to begin with. So once you identify, this is not right. Just like you asked me, you know, when did you identify? When you leave the situation. But when you're in the situation, sometimes you don't see. You're so blind to it. You don't realize, wow, this is very toxic. Unless, you know, you're doing your healing. So really, being able to identify, this is not right. This is not okay. And sometimes it's your coworkers that may see, wow, are you okay? You know, did you get sleep last night? Wow, you look really stressed out. Or you're at your, you know, at work, because that's where you escape, right? That's where you get out. So during this quarantine, like you said, not many of people are getting out. So just really being able to identify, and just, I really have a strong relationship with God. I really think seek God, and he will, you know, lead you to where you need to go. But I really feel like that's powerful. And just as quick as they can get out, even if it's the money issue, even if whatever the issue is, you just have to get out. And you have to take a leap of faith to know that God is going to provide for you. I know a lot of women that are afraid that, oh my gosh, if I leave now, I won't have the money. I won't have this. I won't have that. But you really have to take that leap of faith. And God will push you. He will direct you. He will put the right people in your life to be able to support you. And I know that hands down, because I had to do the same thing with my ex-husband. So it was actually kind of funny. It was on my lunch break. And my coworker looked at me. He was trying to find something of my daughter. And I really, you know, I had told him I didn't want him to live in my home anymore. He didn't get the memo. He wasn't getting the message. He didn't think I was being real and serious. And so my girlfriend looked at me. She said, "You need to go home and kick him out." And I said, "Kick him out." And my boss was like, "Go ahead, do what you got to do." I literally, within 20 minutes, was home, telling him, you know, it's time. He left. This was God. This was by God. He left, never came back. This was my house. And the moment I walked back in my house, I said, "Oh my goodness, this is my home." It was amazing. Like a burden had been lifted. I was so relieved. And it was all because of God, because without him, I would not have had the strength to go. Thankfully, he put my coworkers in my life to tell me, "Do it now." And it was the best.
That's what I was going to say.
Yes.
He put the people in place to kind of give you that push.
I needed to. And a lot of women need it. Yeah, we do. And a lot of times we're, as women, we're afraid to tell her, you know, we're afraid to say, "Oh, if I get involved in that relationship," but really God will push you, you know, to say, "Hey, go home. You need to take care of you." And I'm just so grateful for that opportunity, that moment, because I really needed that push, you know, to move forward. So it's not easy. It's not easy to get out of a relationship, out of, you know, a family situation, especially now. But I just tell people, you know, go to God, you know, pray, you know, that he'll reveal to you what you need to do.
So let me just wrap it up for the audience. What you're trying to say is, it's one, you need to be aware that you're in a toxic relationship, whether it be family or love or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is, it's almost like a mental escape where you go and have your relationship with the Lord or with your higher being.
Right.
You know, a lot of, there was something I watched on Super Soul. There was, I forgot his name. He was interviewed by Oprah, and he was in prison for like 30 years or so for a crime that he did not commit. Wow. And he said that he always used to have a mental escape.
Yes.
Because like you can be in the situation, but one thing that they cannot take from you is your mind and your vision that you have. And, you know, whatever you try to see, like, God is so good. Like, I just wish people, oh my gosh, he is so good. He will direct you. He will lead you.
Everything.
He will be by your side. He will be with you. Oh my God, honey, he is just so amazing. And sometimes people just need to trust.
Yes. Oh, that's the big word.
Yeah, trust. You just need to trust the Lord to know that when you take that step, he will not leave you hanging.
Exactly.
He will not leave hanging.
A leap of faith.
Yeah. So when I, you know, I'm part of a lot of groups for mommy issues, mm-hmm. and I see a lot of them, you know, they complain about their moms. But I'm like, you're an adult and you still live with your mom. You should not be complaining about your mom. Because now your mom is no longer the issue. You are the issue.
Right.
Now, unless if you have a health condition or a disability, that's a different situation.
Right.
But if you are an adult,
right,
honey, if you have to go sleep at a motel while you work that full-time job for you to gain mental clarity, you need to do what you have to do. And a lot of times people don't want to do that. You can't stay in a home and complain that the home is toxic when you're not willing to make the change that is necessary to give you healing.
It's almost like you become a part of the codependent, like you're contributing to the toxicity as well. And I'm very thankful that my mom, even though as toxic as it was, you know, that I was out of the house by 17, you know, going to college, because that was like the best escape I could have ever had, you know, because a lot of people, unfortunately, they do stay enmeshed within their family toxicity. You know, they don't know how to leave, whether it be mom, dad, or even they go to a boyfriend and now it's a codependent situation, still toxic. So it's very important to be able to leave all that behind. It really is.
What is your one word of encouragement to any woman that is experiencing mommy issues right now?
I would say forgive. Forgiveness is a big, like, I can't even say, I want to, you know, even when you think you forgive someone 100%, you really still need to go back and forgive. Forgive yourself and forgive your mother. Forgive her for not being the mom that you needed, or, you know, but just always go back into that place of forgiveness, because it's just so, it's life changing, you know, even to this day, you know, being able to forgive her still, for things that, you know, that I've experienced or went through, but to be able to really forgive. Because a lot of times people say, oh, I forgive you, but it's very superficial. You really have to dig deep and really forgive that person unconditionally.
Your thoughts on forgiveness and peace.
Oh, wow.
Are they codependent, forgiveness and peace, or is it a separate entity?
I would say you have to forgive. Yeah, I would say you have to forgive in order to have peace, because without forgiveness, you won't really ever have that full peace that you really deserve. You know, we all deserve to forgive, you know, ourselves and the others that have hurt us. And you have to forgive yourself, because you have to forgive yourself for, you know, allowing yourself to technically hurt yourself in that way, if that makes sense. Like, you know, you have to forgive the others, but it's more important, I have to forgive myself. So I would say it's kind of like a codependent situation, because without forgiveness, you really truly can't obtain the peace that you deserve.
Okay. And why should women that are experiencing mommy issues listen to the EMD podcast?
Oh my goodness, there's a thousand reasons. But I, for one, I just think hearing other women, that helps you also be able to identify and help heal yourself, you know, and I'm very thankful that, you know, I didn't even know what the name was until I looked and I said, oh my goodness, this is perfect for me. And I just feel like women that do go through this, they need to have an outlet. They need to know that there's other women that have struggled or do still struggle with issues with their mother. You know, it's a lifelong journey of the mother-daughter relationship, you know, and a lot of people are affected that you wouldn't even know, you know, just like you had said about me. So I think it's just an amazing thing that you're doing with this. And it's definitely God, you know, so I'm excited for you.
I want to thank you for taking the time to be here and just be so vulnerable with your life experiences. Mm-hmm. I hope the audience gets to walk away feeling empowered, because that is my goal, is for them to feel empowered and stop waiting for someone to give them the baton.
Right.
To start the healing process, to just be in control of your life.
Right.
And again, if you are in a situation, I know some people are in a really bad, nasty, negative, toxic relationship, but some people have given up their power.
Absolutely.
They've given up their power. And again, like you said, with the codependency, that was my second episode in season one. Was codependency, you know, and people don't understand the impact of that, because when you try to remove yourself mm-hmm. from a toxic relationship, not only is it crippling, the fear is so vivid that it makes you can have heart palpitation, you can doubt yourself, you can literally get sick physically.
Okay, it's healed. Yeah.
You know, and it's scary, but I want people to know that is just a phase. You got to be consistent.
Right.
You got to choose you every time. Mm-hmm. Every time. Because if you don't choose you and you're waiting for your mommy to choose you, you might never acquire healing. And what happens if you are the person that God has put in place to start the healing journey to break the generational curse?
That's right.
You're missing your mark. You're missing what maybe the Lord has you here for.
Right.
If you don't want to have a relationship with your mom, that's okay. You can choose to forgive your mom and not have a relationship with your mom. That's the case for me. You can choose to forgive your mom and have a relationship. That's the case for you. You have the power
right.
to decide whatever you want to do in your life.
Yeah.
And I just hope that people can walk away with that and stop waiting for someone right. to decide when they get to live.
Right. Oh, that's so beautiful. So beautiful. So
tell us how or where can we reach you? So give us your Facebook group page, your yeah. Instagram, and you want to give us a little snippet on your book?
Right. Okay. So the Divine Divas is a private group. It's a very small group, but I can get you the information on that. It's just a private group that I can send to you. And then we have, as far as getting in touch with me, I'm also, my email is probably the best. Instagram, I'm on Instagram. It's T. Marie free. I could send it to you, the information. I have a Healing with Faye page, my business page as well, where I do Reiki, and, you know, talk. And I always post positive things every, you know, I try to do it every day. Oh yes, the book. So God spoke to me, and I, like you, I was like, no, God, why would I write about a book about myself? Why would I tell people these things? And, you know, but he keeps telling me that someone is going to read it and it's going to help heal someone. So through my book, I've just incorporated different phases and different things that have happened in my life to validate, not even validate, but to like show people, you know, like you had said, like, it's time to leave. It's time to go, like take a leap of faith. And it's just my tribute to really God, you know, because through my writing, it's going to help heal myself as well as others. So I'm very excited about it.
You know, you have said a lot of powerful things. I will encourage you to share it with your group so that they can hear this other part of you, and that you are real and you are true to everything that you say and everything you're doing. I love it.
Oh, this was great. I really, yes.
Thank you so much. I'll be in touch and I'll let you know everything, okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, everyone. I hope that you have enjoyed this episode. If you love this episode, please, please, please share it with someone in need of healing. Share it on all social media platforms, or just plain old text messages, okay? Subscribe to our newsletter, follow us on Instagram, join our Facebook support group page, and subscribe to the YouTube channel at The Zainab Kanuz Show. Thank you for all the love and support. Until next time, be so good, be so kind, be so patient, and be so loving to yourself.